The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
We want to officially welcome our podcast audience, our YouTube audience, and our Facebook Live audience. Again, this is End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries, depending on where you watch this and view this from. But this message, this video will be found on both platforms because this is a teaching. It's an equipping message. Matthew 22, Are You Ready for the Wedding? That's kind of the title I got for this. But I want to pull and draw some stuff out of this that I believe will be a blessing to you. It's very informative. It's very equipping. Matthew 22, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables, which he did a lot. And when you read the writings of Jesus, he spoke a lot in parables. And this is another one of those. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. Somebody say, a marriage arranged. And sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. I want to tell everybody that's listening by podcast, listening by YouTube, listening by Facebook, we are all invited to this wedding. And they were not willing to come. Believe it or not, even today, there are many who are not willing to come, even though we're invited to this wedding. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Somebody say, all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But listen to verse 5. This is interesting. I'm going to read all this, guys, and then we're going to come back to this. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And then he said to the servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto them, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. And the king said unto the servants, bind that man hand and foot, take him away and cast him to outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, I know this was a lot to take in. Now, I want to read another angle. The gospel writer of Luke also touched on this same parable, but he gives you a different perspective because he actually goes into further detail on the excuses of why individuals made these excuses of why they couldn't attend this wedding feast. And I believe these same three excuses are the same excuses that we find prevalent in when we go to witness to people, when we invite them to this wedding, come on somebody, when we invite them to come in and feast of the Lord, come into a relationship with the Lord. These are the same three arguments that you have. Listen to this. This is Luke 14, verses 16 through 24. Luke 14, 16 through 24. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and his servants, and sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. Notice it says they all. And if we were to be honest today, we have all have come up with, made an excuse of some sort, some way, in some fashion, at some point in time, of why we can't be fully devoted to all the way in with Christ. You know, I would come to church, but I would get into the devotional time with the Lord, but I would get into more prayer, but I would be at the youth service with my kids, but I would be at the revival services, but come on, But then we're going to fill in that. Listen to this. There's three groups. I want to read this. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I asked that you would have me excused. I'm going to read this again. The first group said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask that you may have me excused. This first group here is those who were already invited to the supper, but these represent the believers who have already made a covenant with God. Listen to this, because without being born again, we wouldn't even be sitting at the marriage supper. Again, they were the first group is they've already been invited. You've already been invited. Many of these individuals, listen, you can't, if you want to be theological on this, you can't even make it to the marriage supper of the Lamb unless you're born again. So I believe this represents individuals who have already made a covenant with God. In other words, they came to the altar. They came down for the altar call. They said yes to the Lord. They said yes to Jesus. They're born again. They repented of their sins. But something happened along the way. Watch this. The invitation is salvation. Your name being put in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now you've entered onto the guest list. Come on, your name can't even be on the guest list lest you be born again. This is the first group. Now, I realize that he moves on to another group and he says, go into the highways and byways and compel them all to come into the house of the Lord. That's the group that are not born again. That's the group that has completely rejected the invitation. But look, I'm talking today specifically about this first group. Watch this. Something interesting occurred at the invitation. This first group, notice it says a piece of land was purchased with the intent to build or invest on it. Thus, again, believers must be careful and leaders as well not to invest more time in building our own agendas and platforms while neglecting the work of the Lord. There's many people in the body of Christ today that are more focused on advancing their own kingdoms rather than investing in helping advance his kingdom. I want to say that again. Many today are more focused on advancing their own kingdoms rather than investing in helping advancing his kingdom. It's interesting because even now where I live here in the Loganville, Monroe, Georgia area, we just had an outdoor event where some local leaders gathered together and became unified in one purpose and one mandate, and that was to release declarations over the city. They prayed over the city. They prayed over the government, local officials. They prayed for the healing of the city and over the region. And I was stunned that there was only a handful of church pastors and leaders that would unite and come together, because the majority don't want to unite and come together because they're more interested in promoting themselves, promoting their own church, promoting their own agendas and their own platforms, rather than coming off their pedestals, coming off their platforms, and coming together and uniting under one umbrella of one united voice, praying and calling out and repenting and asking the city to turn back to God. So on a flip side of this, on a personal level, how many individuals use personal agendas as an excuse not to come into the house of the Lord, not to fully commit themselves into the Lord? I remember, again, years ago, I met many believers, professed Christians, professed believers, professed churchgoers that say they were born again, say they were Christians, say they were serving God, but yet I never saw them in the church. They were never there on Sunday morning, never there on Wednesday night. And each time when I asked them, and I wasn't asking them in condemnation, I was just asking them, hey, where have you been? Not seeing you in the church, just missing you. Is everything okay? Yeah, everything is good. Everything's all right. I'm just busy. I've got landscaping to do. I've got lawn work to do. I was out on the boat. I was out fishing. fishing, it's hunting season, it's football season, it's basketball season, it's we've got family time, we got this, we got that. And it's interesting because, you know, even if you went to church one day a week, you have 6 days of the week in which you can watch basketball, go to football games, do your yard work, go swim in the pool, go do this, go hunting, go do this. But it's interesting that the enemy makes room out of 7 days out of the week. He'll make sure that he makes room for you to go on the day in which you should be in the house of the Lord. Come on. And again, honestly, guys, we should be serving the Lord. And I hate even saying this because it almost sounds religious. I don't want to get into the whole religious mode or aspect of this or that wineskin which we have this mentality that church is on Sundays, or if you're one of those who believe it's on Saturday or the Sabbath or whatever, you make it on Saturday. But guys, truly, we should want to go in the house of the Lord, not one day, not 2 days, 3 days, but 7 days a week. We should be honoring the Lord. Come on, just because you go to church or you go into a physical building one day a week doesn't mean you leave Jesus at the door or inside the four walls of the church that you go to one day a week, and then you have 6 other days of the week that you can go and do your own thing. Come on. What I'm trying to say to you today is that there's no new thing under the sun. This is what Solomon said. And this first group of individuals, notice what they said. I would come to the wedding, and I would come to the feast. Come on, I would come to the revival, I would come to the meetings, I would come to the study, but you know, I've got a piece of ground, I've got a piece of land, I've got yard work to do, housework to do, chores to do, I got to get caught up on this, and I am asking you to have me excused so I can go and take care of these things. Okay? It's interesting that the prophet Haggai dealt with a group of individuals that neglected the house of God, but yet they tended to their own houses. Listen to this. In the second year of King Darius, this is Haggai 1:1-11. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, listen to this, quote, it is time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? I'm going to read this again. Haggai says, are you saying it's time for you to dwell in your own houses and let this temple, or in that day was the house of God, to lie in ruins? Now listen to this. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you're never filled. You clothe yourself, but no one is ever warm. And he who earns his wages only to put them in a bag with holes in them. Come on, have you ever met a believer who, this is their mentality, this is their attitude? You know, I tried that tithing stuff one time. I tried that giving stuff one time. I tried that church stuff one time. I tried that Jesus stuff one time, but it never worked out for me. Because every time, they're always like, you know, I tried it for a while, as if Jesus is a pair of pants that you go try on at TJ Maxx in the fitting room, and you wear them for a couple days, and you try to see if they fit your lifestyle, to see if they fit your comfort level, and then if they don't fit, you return them for an exchange or for another pair. I'm sorry, my friend, but Jesus don't work like that. You don't come to the altar and say, I'll try Jesus out for a couple weeks and see if I can fit him into my lifestyle, see if I can fit him into the culture, fit him with my friends. Can he fit into the parties I go to? Can he fit into the clubs that I attend? Can he fit into the sins in which I have no desire to give up or turn away from, but I just want to cater to them. So I'm looking for Jesus, not to transform my life, but to capitalize on my life. So I want this pair of I want to try Jesus on so that he can exemplify the lifestyle that I'm already living. So you got people in the body of Christ that do this all the time. Some prosperity preacher on television has convinced them that the more money they give to their ministry, come on, the more money that God is going to put into their bank account. But yet those prosperity preachers never go any further than, hey, if you sow into my ministry, then God's going to guarantee you, he's going to give you this, and he's going to give you more money, and he's going to give you promotion, and he's going to give you pay raises, and he's going to give you abundance. But the preacher never tells you that you're going to have to turn away from some stuff. You're going to have to live. Listen, will God bless you? Yes. Will God prosper you? Yes. Will he elevate you? Yes. Will he promote you? Yes. Will he give you pressed down, shaken together, and running over? Yes. Will he, if you give into his kingdom, if you bring your tithes into the storehouse, will he open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that you have not room enough to receive and rebuke to devour for your name's sake? Yes. But there's more to it. Come on. Jesus, come on. God is not a slot machine at Vegas, which you can put some money into it and pull a lever and get three cherries and get an abundance of money and take it back and do and live the lifestyle that you have continued and always have lived and come back on Friday night, bring a bag full of money so you can pump it back in the machine and pull the lever and get more money. It don't work like that, friend. He is not a Santa Claus. He is not a slot machine. He is looking for your heart. Where your treasure is where your heart shall be also. Where your heart is where your treasure shall be. So, if you're sold out to the Lord, living a lifestyle that's pleasing him, pursuing holiness, pursuing righteousness, pursuing sanctification. I know these are strong words and even cuss words in the modern progressive church today, but this is Bible. But because of false teaching and preaching that's been propagated behind pulpits and on Christian television that just tells people, well, hey, you want to get blessed? Look at my ministry. Look how blessed I am. Just sow into my ministry, and that same blessing will come upon you, when the preacher never tells you that, come on, that God wants your heart. He wants covenant with you. He wants you turning from your sin. Listen, if you think you're for a minute, God is going to bless you just because you're a tither, yet you keep beating your wife, cheating on your wife, committing adultery, keep smoking weed, keep drinking, keep being a drunkard, keep cussing everybody else out at the cash, come on, at Walmart, saying the Lord's name in vain, have no desire to go into the house of God, read his word, or serve him, or make covenant with him. Listen, you got another thing. You've done fallen off and bumped your head if you think that's how God operates. That is baloney. So Haggai is saying, because you want to neglect the house of God and focus all your time, energy, and resources on your own kingdom, on your own house, here's what's going to happen to you. I know this is strong. This is a strong word. You say, well, this is not very encouraging. Well, hang on. Just listen to the end of it. I know this is like a shot you get when you go to the doctor. It stings a little bit. Just hold your breath for a minute. Bear with me. It'll be over in just a minute. Listen, Haggai says, because you have this mentality, you're sowing much and bringing in little. Well, preacher, I'm tithing 10%. I'm tithing 20%. I give an offering, but I'm not getting a blessing in return. He says, you're eating, but you never have enough. You're drinking, but you're never filled. You're clothed, but you're never warm. You earn wages to put your money just to put your money in bags with holes in them. See, we think we can do this how we want to do it, and we expect God to move the way we want him to move. Wow. And listen to verse 7, Haggai 1:7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Let's be honest here, guys. If we have a brother and sister in the church and they are faithful tithers and faithful givers, and we see God blessing them, we see God opening the windows of heaven over them, we see God promoting them and elevating them, and we're also giving our tithes and giving our offerings, wouldn't you stop to think, hey, instead of hating on them, instead of criticizing them, instead of blasting them, who do they think they are? They think they're some kind of big shot. They think they're better than me. They think they've got a deeper relationship with God than me. And look at them. They're tithing, they're giving, I'm tithing, they're giving, they're getting blessed, they're getting prospered, they're getting this, they're getting that, but I don't get anything. I get new tires and they're all duds. I get a new car and somebody rear ends me. I get a new house and the plumbing goes out. Listen. Instead of sowing discord and criticizing and tearing down your brothers and sisters who are being blessed, who are being prospered in the works of the Lord, wouldn't it be fruitful to stop and to consider your own ways? There's a novel idea. Examine my own heart. Well, Lord, is there anything in me? Is my attitude right? Do I have jealousy and envy against my brothers and sisters who are blessed and who are prospering? Do I have unforgiveness in my heart? Am I neglecting the house of God to build my own house? Come on, somebody. If we stopped and did this, listen what he says. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Here it is. Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of your houses are being tended to. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. Come on. I would love to see a prosperity preacher get up on Christian television and say, listen, if God blesses you, promotes you, and increases you, it's not so that you can drive a $100,000 car and so that you can have a 25,000 square foot mansion, have Rolexes rolling off your arm, have private jet planes, not one, but six of them, and do all these things and get up and boast about all your riches and prestige. If God has blessed you, it's because he wants you to be a blessing to others. He wants you to feed the poor, feed the widow, help the orphans. Come on, help the widows, help the do. Come on, again, you guys know my heart. If you've listened to me and know me for any time soon, you've heard me preach that I believe God wants to bless you. I believe God wants to promote you. I believe God wants to elevate you. I believe God wants to make you the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. But I'm telling you, if we ever get our eyes off of his kingdom, if we ever get our eyes and on our own kingdom and our own purposes to the point where we begin to merchandise the gospel, we begin to use God as a slot machine, use him as a Santa Claus so that we can promote and we can elevate ourselves, elevate our own ministry, elevate our own kingdom, friends, then we're entering into grave trouble. We're entering into a grave trouble if we ever get to that mindset. And I'm telling you, I'm fed up with it. I'm sick of it. It makes me want to puke. I can't imagine what God, how he feels about it. And I'm not one to name drop, but sometimes I just want a machine gun name drop on right out there. And I could. I mean, I can machine gun names of these hyper prosperity preachers that are preaching nothing but filthy lucre and preaching Christ with nothing but envy, and the attitude and the mentality is for personal gain. But I'm going to move on, Lord, so I don't get in trouble. But listen to this. Then you have your second group. I'm still in the feast, guys. I'm still in the parable of the feast. Then you have a second group. Let me get back to the listen to this. Y'all pray for me. I'm walking a tightrope. I'm going to get in trouble today. And another said, here comes another group. Here we go. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Listen to this. So here's your another group. This represents believers who are too busy for God and his kingdom. So listen, guys, this may not even be, these are individuals that may not be inherently evil and within themselves of like the, you know, they're not using Christ for personal gain. They're not doing it, but they put so much on their plate. I'm going to dial it down a little bit now. I know I got fired up there a while ago, but I want to kind of dial it down a little bit. I want to talk to you about this. These are people that are too busy. We all know individuals like this. I've been guilty of this, where they never say no to anything. Hey, can you do this? Can you do that? Will you do this? Will you do that? And eventually their plate becomes more and more full and more full and more full. And eventually, like, there's no time of the day to do anything because they've got to do this. They've got to run the kids to do that. Their kids are in this. Their kids are in that. They've got an office appointment over here. They've got a scheduled here. They've got another meeting over here. They've got to put in 6 hours over there. Then they got to go to the, you know, some people work in the church and they got to do this. They got to do that. Come on. Even people that volunteer, we've made a joke about this, but many times, you know, even pastors unwillingly, they don't purposely do this, but a lot of them pull the tears out of volunteers because they have them doing so much stuff all the time that they're just so compassed with busyness. They're so busy that they don't have to, it's almost like when they do have time to get into the word or they have time to pray, they're exhausted. They're falling asleep. They're to the point where they, you know, they wait to the end of the day because they've not had any time to sit down, come on, and glean from his word, get into his presence. You know, I'm too busy to do all these things. They've exalted work and money above the kingdom. God does not want to bless and prosper you. I'm sorry, God wants to bless and prosper you, but it must never get to a point. And this kind of dovetails off the first thing I was just talking about, where our occupation begins to consume all of our time away from the Lord, his word, and the gathering together with other believers. And even our families can be neglected. Many people are away from their families for countless hours every week and invest no time at all in their families, their children, their marriages, or the house of God. And this opens a door for the enemy to creep in and cause havoc. You know how many ministers have fallen to the devices of Satan because they have wore themselves out? Notice I said the devil didn't wear, I didn't say the devil wore them out. I said they have worn themselves out. Listen, even too much of a good thing is not even good in some essence. I'm going to say it again. Too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. There was a generation of preachers before my time that spend all their time in the house of God and on the road evangelizing, preaching, and teaching, to the point where they never had time for their families, neglected their marriage, and now their marriages have fallen apart. Their children don't have anything to do with them. Listen, that wasn't the devil. Well, you know, the devil's on their back. The devil's attacking them. No, it's because they never took time. Come on. Sometimes you just got to say no. Not every open door is from God. Oh, this is wisdom. This is going to help somebody today if you listen to what I'm telling you. You don't need to, listen. You don't need to work 3 jobs. Find one job that has good benefits and good pay and stick with that one job and keep praying, keep honoring the Lord. Let him bless you and promote you and elevate you there. You can't stretch yourself to the point where you're killing yourself, man. Lord, I would come to the feast, but I just got too much to do. I'm too busy, and I know you understand. Even Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 7, 32 through 35. He says, I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord. Paul is talking about marriage here. And he says, but the one who is married cares about the things of the world and how he may please his wife. Listen, he says, there's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world and how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Did you hear that? Paul's not saying marriage is bad. What he's saying is, if you're going to get married, you better prepare yourself. Come on. Paul said, you will have trouble in your flesh. You will have to deal with distractions. You will begin to not only care about the things of the Lord, but then you're going to, listen to what he says, right? He says, but you will begin to care about the things of the world that you may please your spouse. And the enemy likes to come into a marriage and begin to do a number on married couples over this very thing. Because again, listen, when we begin to, anything we begin to elevate, whatever we elevate, we begin to neglect everything else. Are you listening to me today? Anything we elevate, we begin to neglect everything else. Listen, everybody's got 24 hours a day. If you spend 20 hours of your day at work and 4 hours of your time with your family, obviously, come on, your work is being exalted and elevated, but your family is being neglected. Listen, you may get away with that once in a while, and they may say, well, we understand. Daddy's got to do this. Mama's got to do that. But come on, but day in and day out, after this over and over and over again, eventually, come on, you're going to reap what you sow. All right? Now watch this. I want to read this. And then another group said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So see, all of these kind of dovetail off each other. So without knowing, the Holy Spirit just kind of drew me right into that third group. This third group is, they use their marriages as excuses. Some people use their kids. I'd come to church, but my kids this, but my kids that. I'd come this, that, you know, it's always just, listen, I can totally relate to this. I'm just being real. When I didn't have kids, there wasn't as many distractions. I could easily open up the Bible. I could pray. I could get into the Word. I could write out sermons. I could do all this. But then, guess what? Life comes. Marriage comes. Kids come. Now there's homeschool. There's virtual school. There's things you got to take care of. You got to take the kids to school. You got to pick them up. You got to make their dinners. You got to do this. You got to do that. So your time becomes less and less. And you have to learn to properly steward your time. So we're talking about balance here. So then this is something I want to show you here. So watch this. So that servant came and reported these things to his master, and then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. So notice there was a shift. The original individuals that were invited begin to make excuses. So then God turns, He turns to the lame. I'm going to read this again. The poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And I believe, prophetically speaking, this is where we're at in this hour right now. There was a time when we were known to have moves of God and revival services in churches and in denominations, in the four walls of the church, whether it be the Church of God, the Assemblies of God, the Church of God of Prophecy, the Apostolic Church, the UPC churches. I mean, we could name Baptist churches, Episcopalian churches, Presbyterian churches, and the list goes on. There was a time when moves of God, listen to me, were known and prevalent to come out of, or they were birthed out of these houses of God, these denominations, the church house. But notice something has happened. There's been a shift now, and now we're seeing where the gospel, and we're hearing about moves of God, not so much inside the four walls of the church, and I'm using quotation marks here for you guys on podcast, but I say in the church, as in the brick and mortar aspect or understanding of the church or that wineskin. But now you got people like Sean Foyt, who's taking the church. He's taking the church outside of the brick and mortar, outside of that wineskin, and he's bringing the word. He's bringing the kingdom to those on the outside. He's going, and I'm not putting him up, and I'm not elevating him. I'm just, he's the one that's coming to my mind right now as an example, and he's the one on the forefront right now that everybody, when I talk about this, the Let Us Worship movement that's gone all over the cities of America. I'm using this as an example because this is what's on the forefront right now. This is what's fresh on our mind. And so that your mind's eye can get a picture of what I'm talking about. So now notice that who he's reaching. He's reaching, listen, the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. He's reaching the people that are not the status quo. He's reaching the hurting. He's reaching the people not inside the church. He's reaching the homeless. He's reaching the widows. He's reaching the prostitutes and the drug addicts and the drunkards. He's reaching those who are the second class. Oh, come on, somebody. The second class criteria. And believe it or not, churches and leaders in the churches today still have this same mindset that we're going to reach a demographics of people that all look the same, talk the same, have the same haircuts, dress the same. And I hate to say it, but it's typically the upper class white folks that hang out at Starbucks and drive around in Lexuses or Mercedes or Bentleys and are just upper class folks. And we've got to get out of that mindset. God, the Bible says he wills that none perish and all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And notice what he says. He said, there is still room. I love this. There's still room. I want to say that to somebody listening today, watching today. Maybe you may be watching this today and you say, man, I'm not ready for the wedding feast. I'm not ready for the wedding feast. I'm not dressed for the wedding feast. And I'm just not ready for this. But I've got good news for you. And you maybe you're saying, I don't fit the church mode. I've never been in church. Oh, I've tried church. I didn't like it. It was too judgmental. It was just not for me. Well, I got good news for you. God is not just looking for cookie cutter specs of one individual and your class only. He's going into the highways and byways and compelling all to come into the house of the Lord. And friend, it is not too late. He said, there is room for more. There's room for you. There's room for me. There's room for your brothers and your sisters and your family members and your coworkers. Come on, those people that you don't think that would ever come. Surely there's not a chair at the table for them. My friend, there is a chair at the table for them. Listen, here's the part that really got me. So in the parable, they go out and they get them. They bring them in. The lame, the maimed. Listen, he says, go into the highways and byways, compel as many to come into the wedding. Get the good and the bad and fill the wedding hall. But it says, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. This is mind-boggling to me when I first read this. Like, well, hold on here. Lord, you invited these individuals in. So they were brought in, but now you're coming over rebuking a guy who doesn't even have on a wedding garment. And the Bible says he was cast out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This puzzled me for the longest time until I begin to when I begin to research Jewish history and Jewish culture, it all made sense to me. Traditionally, when the father was throwing a wedding, listen to me. When the father was putting together a wedding and throwing a wedding for his groom, listen to this. This is profound. He would spare no expense, and he himself would provide the wedding garments for the guest. I'm going to say it again. This is Jewish culture in that day. The father of the groom would spare no expense and provide the wedding garments of the guests that came to the wedding. So listen, this is what I want to show you here. We don't have a problem today. Listen, we got a lot of folks that want to show up to the wedding, but they don't want to get dressed and be ready for when the groom is going, come on, to consummate the marriage. So watch this. What does that represent? What are you talking about, Brother Ricky? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Listen, we got a lot of folks that want to come. Now, this wasn't an issue in generations past, but we're in 2020. This is a whole different culture. We had preachers and ministers behind pulpits that were all the time given invitations to come and get dressed so that you may be ready at his coming and be ready for the wedding. Be ready, come on, for the marriage supper. What do I mean by get dressed? Paul said this. He said, I beseech you, therefore, I die daily. I put on Christ. He says, I put off the old man and the sins thereof. I put off abominations. I put off drunkenness. I put off idolatry. I put off sowing discord. I put off lust, and I put off envy. Some of you all right now, you're listening to me, and I've already told you, I don't care where you're at. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you're in, what you're involved in, your past, your present. I don't care about that. God is giving you an invitation to get ready for the wedding feast of the Lamb. He's giving you an invitation, but he's telling you right now, come on, somebody's listening to me today. He's telling you, you've got to get ready. You've got to put on something. It's going to take you to put off something and put on something today. You're not clothed in your own righteousness. Come on, God, the Father who arranged this wedding, come on, who arranged this whole thing, he's already purchased a garment for you. He's already purchased a wedding garment. He spared no expense, and he covered it with the blood of his own son. All he's asking you to do is, come on, take off, put off the old man. Put off the old man today and put on the new man in Christ Jesus today. Come on, put him on today. Put on righteousness. Put on holiness. Put on sanctification. Put on right standing. Put on, and you say, this sounds like legalism. No, it sounds like the Bible. It sounds like the Word of God. Friend, I would be embarrassed to be invited to a wedding and be the man standing in the corner, not dressed right, look right, and be ready. I don't know about you. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but if that trumpet sounds, I don't want to be found like John said in the book of John. He said, don't be found naked and wanting at the coming of the Lord. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be the one left behind because I was refusing to get right with God. I was refusing to to put some stuff off and put some stuff on. Come on. Some of y'all need to put away your excuses for not coming into the house of God. Come on. Stop making excuses. Stop using your spouse as an excuse. Stop using work as an excuse. Stop using your land and your business and your corporation and your hobbies and everything else you've got. Stop making excuses. It's time to stop playing games. I'm telling you, the clock is at the midnight hour. The Lord is about to return. And I want to give an invitation before we close this broadcast today. I want to pray with you right now. And you say, how do I put this off? It's easy. You do it through prayer. You come to Him in repentance. You come to Him and come on with your heart. The Bible says, The Lord is near unto those with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You come to Him. Listen, I'm not going to have you repeat a prayer after me. I personally don't even like doing that. A lot of preachers do that. A lot of preachers do the sinner's prayer. I can't find anywhere in the 66 books of the Bible, I can't find the sinner's prayer. It's not in there. Come on. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The book of Romans says, if you will confess with your mouth that and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, you shall be saved. But don't be like Jeremiah and draw near to Him with your lips. Come on, but your heart's far from Him. I'm telling you, you got to come with your heart. You got to come with your mind. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Come on, lay, and I don't mean physically naked before Him, but come on, lay naked as in your heart. Open, transparent, be real. We call it real with Him. Get real right now and say, Lord Jesus, I ask that you reveal to me if there's anything that I've got on right now, if there's anything I'm clothed in, if I've got envy, if I've got jealousy, if I've got lust, if I've got pride, if I've got unforgiveness, these things will keep me from entering into the wedding feast. These things will cause the King to look at me and say, how did you get in here? I don't want to be cast out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth because I refuse to get my wedding garment right with Him. But I'm asking right now, Lord Jesus, every individual under the sound of my voice watching this, listen to this. Lord, you said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, the old is passed away and all things have become new. God, I'm asking that right now you begin to take off some stuff from people. You said, Paul said in his writings, he said, he that has this hope purifies himself. Lord, I'm asking that people, there's some folks that need to obey the Holy Spirit right now. The Holy Spirit is beginning to speak to some people, to confess some sins right now, to clean out their closet. To clean out their closet and get rid of some garments, get rid of some old habits, get rid of some old addictions, get rid of some old baggage, get rid of some things that don't fit anymore. Come on, some of y'all trying to put on some stuff that don't fit anymore. Oh, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the stuff you used to wear when you went to the club. Stuff, come on, that old habit that you're still practicing, it don't fit anymore. You're a new creation. That don't fit anymore. You need to get rid of that thing. You need to get rid of that old garment and put on Christ Jesus. Put on loving kindness. Put on forgiveness. Put on mercy. Put on grace today. Put on newness of life today. Put on happiness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost today. Come on, put on a fresh fire and a fresh walk in Him today. And Father, I thank you that you're doing that today. I thank you that you're doing that on this broadcast, on YouTube, on Facebook, and on podcast today. I thank you, Father. We say no more excuses. God, you see those things. If there's anything that I've exalted above your throne, if I put a business, if I put ministry, if I put people, my marriage, if I put anything above you, God, and I've made it to be an excuse not to go deeper with you and to get into a relationship with you, then God, I'm asking by the help of the Holy Spirit today that you would begin to help me to remove those things and put my life back into order and put it back into the position in which it needs to be so that you who are faithful, who began a good work in me, will see to it that I finish it and complete it until the day of redemption of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, and amen. Come on, if you've been blessed by this message, come on, just thank the Lord. Thank the Holy Spirit today. Again, I just wanted to share with you, you guys, something that the Lord put on my heart. This message was really on my heart over the last week or so, but I've just been wanting to deliver that. So I believe that this will, I believe it will impact somebody out there or somebody's. Again, if you'd like to follow this ministry, keep up with this ministry, know more about this ministry, you can follow us. We're on multiple social media platforms. We're on Instagram. You can see that right there on your screen. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Parler, USA.life, and MeWe. So if you are any of those platforms and you're currently on there, please look for End Time Headlines. You're going to follow us there. You can find us there. Again, our main website is endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you're listening to this by Remnant Revival, we thank you as well for being a part of this podcast, or this podcast or broadcast, depending on how you're listening to this today. If you've not downloaded our official ETH app, you can do that, and it's available at Apple iTunes, also on Google Play, at the Google Play Store. Again, it's the End Time Headlines official app. It is free. So why? What's your excuse for not getting it? It's free. Well, brother, I don't have enough data. Listen, I looked it up one time. It only uses about 13 megabytes of data. Are you kidding me? That's nothing. Come on, you got some you got games on your phone because your grandkids or your kids did take up about quadruple that. Come on, you need to get the app. Download it, get it today, get it free, get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as live notifications, breaking news alerts. All of our podcasts are going to be on there on the bottom, our YouTube channel, all that's going to be on there. If you've not yet subscribed to End Time Headlines, you could do that by going to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Look for this little banner right here that you see. It says catch all the latest headlines and subscribe. Just click on that and subscribe. If you're watching by Facebook Live, right there in the description, it says subscribe to ETH. Just click on that link and it's going to take you where you can. All you got to do is put your name, your email address, and bam, you are subscribed and you will get one digest every single day in your inbox and be notified of all of our headlines and our podcasts. We are on YouTube. ETH is on YouTube. Just type in End Time Headlines on YouTube and you're going to find us there. End Time Headlines on YouTube. ETH is on podcast. If you are on Apple or Spotify, you can find us. Just type in End Time Headlines. You're going to find us. Please subscribe. It's free. Also, you guys on you guys watching by ETH or End Time Headlines are equipping and encouraging an edification arm of our ministry. It's called Remnant Revival Ministries. Please, if you've not yet subscribed to that, go. And again, we are on podcast as well, Spotify, Apple. You can find us there. You can subscribe to our website, remnantrevival.org, remnantrevival.org. Again, you can find us on Facebook as well. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, it encourages you, it edifies you, it informs you, keeps you up to date with the latest news and headlines and the whole nine yards. We want to give you the opportunity to sow into this ministry a gift of any amount. Again, we don't manipulate people. Everything we do is free. All we ask is if you've been blessed and you would like, out of the generosity of your heart or the Holy Spirit puts upon your heart, and you like to sow a one-time gift or maybe even partner with us. Maybe you want to become a monthly partner of ETH or Remnant Revival or both. When you sow into ETH, you're actually partnering with Remnant Revival Ministries and End Time Headlines. It's all, again, it's two branches in one tree, one soil system. You're sowing into that, and you're helping us to remain strong, and helping us to continue to doing what we're doing. Again, you can do that going by the app, go all the way to the bottom. There's going to be a place where you can give. It's going to say donate at the bottom. Click on that, and you could do that. If you wish to give by check or money order, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, that's our physical mailing address, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, that's for those who wish to give by check or money order. Always, again, guys, we thank you for coming on today. Being a part of these broadcasts. We will not be on here tomorrow because tomorrow night I actually have to speak at my local church here in Monroe, Georgia. We're having a youth ministry night. I'll be ministering there at the youth service on tomorrow night at 7 p.m. I'm not sure if they're going to, I don't know if they're going to broadcast this live or not. If they don't, if I find out they don't, I will see if I can try to stream this live. If for those who wish to watch this, we will try to broadcast that or stream that live. So nevertheless, guys, if we don't talk to you tomorrow, we're going to sign off for today and have a good weekend. Have a blessed weekend. And we'll see you guys next week. God bless. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.